بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home, the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarrama sent two people, An-Nadr ibn al-Harith and Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, to the Yahud of Medina Munawwara to ask them about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they recognize him in the scriptures, and particularly what could they do to test his authenticity. So the Yahud of Medina Munawwara gave them three questions to pose to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And depending on how he would answer these questions, they would then determine whether he is the final Nabi of Allah or not. These three questions, the first was, they said, ask him about those youth who left their town and went into the cave. And this was discussed in the 15th juz, the Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave. Then secondly, ask him about that leader whose kingdom spanned the east and the west. And thirdly, ask him about the ruh, the soul, and the matters pertaining to the soul. This also was discussed in the 15th juz last night. The second question, the leader whose kingdom spanned the east and the west, this will be discussed and recited in the 16th juz, the end of Suratul Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the entire incident, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ, that they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Dhul Qarnayn. These two people, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt and Nadr bin Harith, they came back, they posed these three questions to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, I will inform you the answers tomorrow. And according to some narrations, he forgot to mention, insha'Allah, wahi was delayed for 15 days. And finally, Suratul Kahf was then revealed, these questions were answered. So Allah speaks about this second question, the leader whose kingdom spanned the east and the west. And Allah mentions three journeys that he undertook. The first journey, إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ, he traveled to the west. And there he found a group of people who had disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave him the option, either you can wipe them out or give them a chance. So he chose to give them a chance, an opportunity. Those who would accept Islam, he spared their lives. And those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then destroyed them. His second journey, إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ, he traveled to the extreme east. And here he comes across another group of people. Again, Mufassirin mentioned they were also disbelievers. And they were living under the open air. They did not have any structure, any tent or canopy above them. They were exposed to the heat of the sun. And again, it seems as though he dealt with them in the same way. And then the third journey, which is pertinent to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and particularly to the times that we find ourselves in, إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ, he reached a place between two mountains, a valley, and he found a group of people that were residing there, some tribe, some nation, and they then complained to him, that, O Dhul Qarnayn, you are the leader, and we have two tribes that are oppressing us, and they plunder our wealth, they kill, they loot, they steal. These two tribes are called Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So they asked, they sought the help of Dhul Qarnayn to take care of these two tribes. The incident is very lengthy. He then assists them to build a barrier or a wall of sorts. And the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are then barricaded behind this wall. And from the ahadith we learn that they will continue to remain there right up until close to the end of time. Close to the world coming to an end, this is when they will finally be released from this sort of prison that they are in. And of course, they will then wreak complete havoc in the world. But the important message from here, my dear brothers, a hadith that appears in Bukhari and Muslim, Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, says that on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up and his face was red. And he then exclaimed, La ilaha illallah, waylul lil arabi min sharrin qad iqtarab. Woe be to the Arabs, because there is a calamity, some evil which has drawn close. And then he explains, فُتِحَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ مِثْلُ هَذَا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gestured with his fingers, and he said, a hole, a small hole has now been opened in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. In other words, indicating that Qiyamah is relatively close by. When we look at the entire history of the world and creation, so from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam till now, 1,500 years, but in relation to the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, it's just a short span of time. So he says that this, a small amount has been opened. In other words, Qiyamah is close. And then the important part, Zainab bint Jahsh asks him, أَنَهْلِكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ. O Nabi of Allah, will we also be destroyed if we have pious people present amongst us? We have righteous people amongst us. In other words, will their presence not save the rest of us? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Naam idha kathura al-khabath. That yes, you also will be destroyed, even though the presence of the pious is there, but when evil goes unchecked, when evil now becomes widespread and becomes rampant, and it now becomes the order of the day for the commands of Allah to be broken, and muhaddithin mention, particularly when you will avoid prohibiting what is evil, whether it be on a large scale or whether it be on a small scale individually, when a person will abandon this, prohibiting the wrong and the evil, then your destruction will come. So this is what will happen closer to the end of time. Allah protect us and grant us understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.